Welcome to the Spodcasters. We're back. For all those out there who didn't think we'd make it to the second episode, we did it. I'm Andy Samuelson, the KUSports.com online editor, and I'm joined today by Channel 6 sports director Kevin Romery and Lawrence Journal World sports editor Tom Keegan. Keegan, what are we going to be talking about today?
Well, Andy, first of all, thanks for having us again, and second of all, relax. You're the Julian Wright of Spodcasting. Take it easy, baby. Your girlfriend's not listening. You'd have to have one for her to be listening. Anyway, what
Andy
we're going to be...
He doesn't know girls. Keep going.
What we're going to be talking about today, obviously, KU basketball with its opener tomorrow night against Idaho State. We're going to be talking about the likely starting five, the projected starting five in March, who we'd like to be seeing start then. We'll get into the KU hoops big time. Also, I want to touch on T.O. and get into who the real culprit is there. Because it's not the obvious one. We'll be getting into that. And also, we're going to be visited by a special guest, Coach Roy, later in the show.
Our first special guest ever on the Spodcasters.
Yes, it is. So that's quite an honor.
I mean, it's hard to get the big-time name like that for the first guest.
It's huge.
One place, baby.
Right here. I'm the Spodcasters. We are the Spodcasters. Andy Samuelson's over there to my right. Kevin Romery, Channel 6 sports director, to my left.
I'm Tom Keegan,
the Journal World sports editor, and I'm so smart, I not only can ask the questions, I can answer them as well. All right, Romery, Kevin Romery here of Channel 6, the starting five tomorrow night against Idaho State. Bill Self has made it clear who it is.
Yeah, and he mentioned he's going to mix up, he's going to keep the two big guys in there. It's going to be Sasha and CJ along with... It's been so many, I may screw this
Brandon.
Up. Along with Brandon Russell and Jayhawk, right?
Right.
And that's different, and we expected that. We didn't expect the opening night lineup to be the regular season opening night lineup. No offense to Steven Vinson. Love the guy, one of our local kids, but we knew that wasn't going to happen. I think on paper, this is pretty close. I think you wrote about this today. I read this somewhere. Mario Chalmers eventually will take that spot over from Jayhawk. I don't think he's going to stay there. The other problem now, Darnell, and we talked to Coach yesterday and the kids, with Darnell now being suspended for the first 9 games, Coach is a little worried about the fouling situation. Now, if you've watched Kansas basketball for the last year, you know that CJ and Sasha can't stop fouling anybody. They foul everybody and anybody that comes into the lane. If you've got both those guys in there together, the likelihood of them getting into foul trouble quickly is very good. And so what Coach may end up having to do is substitute these guys for each other. And if they get through those first 10 minutes or so, then bring them in together. But if he brings them in together right off the start and they both pick up a couple quick fouls, no Darnell. Where do you go? Christian Moody is the
Moody
only thing you got.
And Wright together. That's what he wants to avoid, is Moody and Wright together, because you want to have either Sasha, CJ, or Darnell on the court to guard the five. And obviously for the first 9 games, he's not going to have Darnell. And that's why this becomes a problem. But beyond that, C.J. Giles is so good at this point. I want him on the court as much as possible. He is going to have to figure out a way to stop using his arms so much on defense, to stop fouling, and that's on him first and foremost. And I know Self said, and
blame
he was right, you can blame the guards for overplaying and for getting beaten by their man to make C.J. on the run to come help out, and when you're on the move, that's when you commit fouls. You don't commit fouls on your own man when you're a big man as much as you do helping out.
And that's going to happen a lot, because both Russell and Mario, what makes those guys so great on defense is that they're so long. They've got those long arms. They can get into the passing lanes and get some easy baskets. So you don't want to ask those guys to give up their aggressiveness. You don't want to ask them to not take chances, because that's something that they can do that others can't. However, they're going to have to pick their spots, especially if one of these guys gets a couple fouls early. I say at the start of the game, go on out, hit it hard. But if one or two of these guys does get into foul trouble, tell them to crank it down a little bit. Don't let those guys get past them and get into the lane. And as you mentioned, though, bottom line is hands straight up. Don't lean in. Don't try to block every single shot. Just try to chain shots and grab some rebounds, and those guys will be okay.
But in order to chain shots, you've got to block a couple so that little pink elephant is in the room. He's not so little. But if you're blocked by CJ into the bleachers like that one last week in the exhibition, the second exhibition game, whatever stiff that was. I know Fort Hays was the first. I forget even who they played in the second one.
But I get the Emporia States, the Fort Hays States, and the Pittsburgh States mixed
up. Pittsburgh State, that's
because
who
I've
it
done,
was.
I've done the men's games and the women's games so far, and they played them all. Now, no offense to those three schools, but they're starting to confuse me a little.
But CJ, when he blocks one into the rafters like that, for the rest of the game, That's going to have an impact on the other team's shooting percentage. I think this team is going to be really, really good, and I think it's going to be really, really good with Chalmers running the point, and maybe even, this probably won't happen till next year, but maybe even this year with Rush and Downs on the wing, because can you imagine how good they'd be offensively if they had the slashing Rush and the shooting Downs on the floor at the same time? I'm getting ahead of myself, but offensively, you got to like Micah Downs better than Russell Robinson. No comparison. Defensively in the other direction.
He's going to be fine. You said defensively the other direction and weight-wise. I think you mentioned Christian and Julian playing together. What's their combined weight in the lane when they're together?
I think I outweigh them.
That's bad news. How tall are you?
5'8".
5'8". 5'8", everybody out there. Tom Keegan is 5'8". That's the problem, and you mentioned it. But one day, those guys will be out there together, and who knows? They may be there tomorrow night when they take the floor, sometime during the game. Foul problems will dictate games, injuries, who knows?
He is Kevin Romery. I'm Tom Keegan. We are the Spodcasters. And Romery, how good do you think this team can be? Because I think that it's going to make the tournament, no question about that in my mind. And my initial knee-jerk thing is Sweet 16. But my question to you is, are they more likely to make the Final Four or miss the field of 65? Which, in your mind, would be more likely? Neither are likely. Which would be more likely?
Well, put me on the spot here. I would think they're more likely to make the Final Four.
I'm with
you. That would be my guess. I wouldn't say, because I don't think they're going to miss the tournament at all. I mean, I just don't think that's a situation. So if you're in the tournament, it's more likely that you're going to make it to the Final Four.
Right.
Now, I don't think they're going to make it to the Final Four. I think the Sweet 16 would be a spectacular season. I think if they make it to the second round, because they're going to end up with one of those 6, 7, 8, 9-ish kind of seeds, which means that first round game is going to be tough. And then if you win that one, then you got a 1, 2, or 3 to deal with. I watched a couple other, though, teams last night. I don't know if you watched Texas or Duke
play last night.
I saw some
of Texas. I did not see any of the Duke.
Texas is going to be really good. Daniel Gibson was not good last night, but Aldridge is really good if he can stay healthy. Obviously, we know what P.J. Tucker can do if he's around for two semesters, which is a coin flip at this point after what happened last year. But Texas is really good.
How about the guy late in the game, Dowell?
Deion Dowell, yeah. He's a sophomore now?
Yeah, he can get up there.
He was a McDonald's guy.
Wow.
But they've got so
good.
Much depth, he really doesn't play. He and Mike Williams both. Neither
they
of those guys played
deep.
A ton last night.
They are a deep, deep team. I think Sweet 16, I look at him and I think a little more of them than you do. For this reason, yeah, they're young, but in college basketball, it's younger than ever. It really is. This year, it's younger than ever because next year you'll go to where the high school kids can't jump to the pros. Younger than ever, and they're a very talented team, and now the super talented freshmen these days are so experienced because they play so long, they play so much basketball against good competition on the AAU circuit, the McDonald's circuit, that whole deal, and they're all unselfish. So I think that by March they could be really good and could make a serious run.
I think you're right. Like I said, I don't think they're going to make it to the Final Four. So don't, if you're listening out there, don't think, Kevin Romery and Tom Keegan said back in November they're going to go to the Final Four, because that's false. But
unless they do, Tom Keegan and Kevin Romery
send your checks
back
to
November.
645 New Hampshire, care of Kevin Romery. I'll take care of the rest, I promise you. But yeah, the first round, going to be a tough matchup. I kind of see this as being, trying to remember what season it was where KU won. I think they beat DePaul in overtime. Andy, I don't know if you remember. Beat DePaul in overtime and then went to the second round and maybe lost to Duke in a hard-fought game, maybe 98. And then in 99 lost to, I think, Kentucky in the second round in another strange matchup where they won a close one in the first round and then lost in the second one. But they competed with the top teams in that second round, and they looked like a team where you said, look out another year or two. And that's exactly what happened. A couple years later, they go to back-to-back Final Fours and then a great eight after that.
Maybe that's what we're looking at this year. But, you know, the interesting thing is they go down to Hawaii, and if they lay an egg in Hawaii against that good competition, don't write them off. 1988, if I'm not mistaken, they went 1-2 down in Maui, and they went on to win the national title. Now, this year, they don't have the best player in college basketball like they did in 88 when Danny Manning was on the team. But, you know, my point is don't put all your eggs in that basket. If they lay an egg down there, I'm mixing my metaphors.
Well, it happened a couple years ago. It was Ball State, first game. KU loses a game where Aaron Miles cramps up with under 10 seconds to go. He falls flat on the floor and a layup going the other way, and KU loses that first-round game of that season. Seemed
right.
To turn out
Tim Buckley was wired for that game, remember, from Ball State? Maybe you were there. I watched it on TV. I believe that was one of the games he was wired on, and you heard every comment he made. Tim Buckley, Ball State, the guy who discovered Dwayne Wade on a recruiting trip.
Who knew? I've seen Dwayne Wade play one time. One time. One time.
Not his best. Kirk Heinrich got the better of him.
You're going to Hawaii, right?
I'm going to Hawaii with Gary Bedore.
I'm nervous. I saw something on your desk. Hawaiian shirts?
Yeah.
Those for you?
Well, yeah, I bought one and sewed two together and put it on. It fits great.
Fantastic.
Gary Bedore in the house.
Speaking
by the
of
way.
Gary, he's speaking through the window, but he's scared to be on the radio spodcasting.
On the Spodcasters. And Kevin Romery of Channel 6, and I'm Tom Keegan, Lawrence Journal World Sports Editor. Romery, I want your take on who is really the biggest culprit in this whole T.O. thing, because I have my own views on this.
You wouldn't tell me years earlier, so no. You wanted to leave it for now. I kind of told you who I blame in all this. Drew Rosenhaus. Well, the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen. And I didn't see it all, but I saw the press. I thought Al Bohl had showed up. We were in a driveway doing a press conference. It's the only time I ever thought I'd see a driveway press conference was in Lawrence, Kansas. I was wrong. We saw another one with T.O. He came out to his driveway or whatever, and his little prepared statement was more than enough. It's all he needed to say. I wasn't going to buy it. Guy's a dork, but great player, you know? And if there's anything in this world that gets him second, third, fourth, 10th, 15th, 100 chances, it's great athletes for whatever reason. But he's going to get another chance. He's going to show up somewhere. And then Drew Rosenhaus started firing off about how everybody's misportraying this guy and that yada, yada, yada. I thought it was T.O.'s mama. I thought T.O.'s mama showed up on the driveway and wanted to defend her son. And the more he talked, the less I wanted to listen. I started thinking, this is why these athletes think this, because their agents will fight everything for them because they want to get the money. Obviously, they want to get their take in this thing.
So you didn't believe him, Drew Rosenhaus, when he said, I love this man. You think that he just loves this man's money? Is
he
that
loves
what
his
you
earning
think?
Potential. Hard to believe, isn't it?
Oh, you are so cynical. So I'll ridiculous. Tell you who the biggest culprit it's in this ridiculous. Whole thing is, and nobody's saying it, Donovan McNabb. Didn't Donovan McNabb's mom, when she was giving the spoonfuls of soup to him, say, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me?
Uh-huh.
Here's how Donovan McNabb should have reacted when T.O. ripped him. Donovan McNabb should have said, hey, listen, don't listen to what T.O. says. Ignore him like I do. Just pay attention to what he does. And what he did last January was get out on there on that field when most people wouldn't have been risking their health and their future the way T.O. did when he played in that Super Bowl and recovered from an injury that was supposed to keep him out all year. That's what McNabb should have said. And McNabb should have said also, listen, the guy's a clown. He says stupid stuff. I really don't care what he says. I care what he does. On Sunday, sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Obviously, Donovan McNabb's mother never told him that, and it's a shame because if she had told him that, T.O. never would have been suspended. He would have played last Sunday. The whole game would have been different. McNabb wouldn't have been injured, and there you go. The Eagles would be on the way to the Super Bowl.
Oh, they're on the way, all right. To the toilet bowl is where they're headed now, and it has nothing to do with T.O.
He'll be back.
It's easy for us to say, yeah, ignore him and, you know, say these things in the media so that people get off their back. But you've seen the shots where T.O.'s in his grill on the sideline, right?
Yeah,
How long can you deal with that?
As long as he keeps showing up and playing great.
I don't know, man. You can. I'll say that every day, if the bosses at Channel 6 and the Lawrence Journal World are up here every day and people that you worked with, Gary Bedore was in your grill every day. Talking down on Keegan.
Oh, he is. He's about 6'3", and I'm 5'8".
You would be so sick of it after about 3 weeks. And you're not. If I ask, hey, Keegan, Gary wearing you out yet? And you say, nah, he's doing fine. What he says doesn't bother me. His stories are fantastic in the journal world. We don't have to worry about it. His sources are great. About a week later, hey, Tom, Gary wearing you out? Pretty soon you're going to snap. You're going to be sick of the guy. You don't want to deal with
him. You know why? Gary Bedore, sure, it's annoying when he says, did you grub yet? And sure, it's annoying when he says, how would you like your coffee? I'd like it with cream. Black? The guy's off a little, but he does a great job of covering KU basketball for us. So why should I care whether he annoys me or not?
Shout out to you, Gary, because it's not a personal attack. He's just trying to help a guy out. He's just trying to help a brother out with his coffee.
And all Drew Rosenhaus is trying to do is help out T.O. That's all. You know, we got coming up pretty soon here, Kevin Romery. As soon as he walks through that door, we're going to pop him on. Coach Roy is on his way down the hall to discuss some KU hoops with us this afternoon, Kevin Romery. And I'm really looking forward to that discussion. I think it's going to be a super exciting
team.
It's
been a while since I've talked to Coach, actually.
Yeah, it's been a while for me. I haven't talked to Coach in probably 15 years when I was helping out with a book on Michael Jordan. And here's Coach Roy walking through the door.
Special effects around here are fantastic.
Good to see you, Coach.
How you guys doing today?
We're doing great.
We're doing all right. What do you think of the Jayhawks this year and their chances of playing some more up-tempo basketball, the kind of basketball that you like to see played, Coach Roy?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's not my team. It's Bill Self's team. Now, if it were my team, I'd make them run. I like to run. My teams run. They always ran, always going to run. But this year, it's Bill Self's team. I'm not going to comment.
Coach Roy, I notice, and it seems like every time I see you, you've got this. You got a can of Coke in your hand. What's the deal there?
Well, I'll tell you a story, Tom. I love Coke. I've loved it ever since I was a kid. And I told myself when I made it, when I got older, I'd buy a whole fridge full of Coke, and I'd fill it up. And guess what? I made it, and I got it, and now I drink Coke every day. Only a couple years ago, I went to the doctor. He said my triglycerides are too high.
Yes, he did. I remember that press conference, Coach. It looks like you're doing okay.
Yeah, you covered it in the journal world. I remember that.
How are your triglycerides?
Well,
where are they?
I'm not sure, Kevin. That's a good question. I'm not entitled to answer.
Now, this KU team is a young team. Can a young team win in college basketball?
Well, I tell you what. I've had young teams and I've had old teams, and they both won. So you can do it either way.
Well, Romery, this is a young team, and I think they're going to win. And, you know, Coach Roy was nice to come and join us, and I want to thank you, Coach Roy, for joining us here on the Spodcast.
Coach, you got a tee time, right?
I do. I'm playing out at Alvemar Tech.
Who are you playing with?
Well, I'm not real sure.
Randy Towner?
Probably.
It's possible. Very possible.
2-hour round, maybe.
I just hope it doesn't rain.
Rain, it's more likely to snow today, Coach. I know you don't spend much time outside. You're inside in the gymnasium most of your life. It's too cold to rain today, I think.
I think it might be, but then I'm going to go eat some barbecue, and everything will be fine. So I want to thank you guys for having me on the Spodcasters today.
We appreciate you coming.
It was a real treat.
It is rare.
Well,
we appreciate that. I think this is the first time you've come back to Kansas and actually done this.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Tom.
Dadgummit, thanks for joining us, Coach Roy.
I tell you what, doggone it, I've always loved the Journal World and 6 News.
Really?
6 Sports.
Really?
Hey, that's good to hear. Absence makes the heart grow fonder, Kevin Romery.
Hindsight's 2020, isn't it?
That's right. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you, Coach Roy. Wow, he's a candid guy. You know, it was nice of him to come all this way and join us.
You know, it shouldn't surprise us. He came back for the senior the banquet, you know, after he had left Kansas and gone to Carolina, and a lot of people didn't really know if they wanted him here, and he came back anyway and faced the music, and you got to respect it.
Well, I think that's great, and I respect the talent level that Bill Self has now, Kevin Romery, and I think come March we're going to say, you know something, Keegan, you were right. These guys grew up in a hurry, and they're a very, very good team, and they're a threat to make it all the way to the Final Four.
Starting to disrespect this show. Yeah, you know, maybe we will. Maybe we'll laugh about this day in, what, 3-4 months when March gets here and the Final Four is here and it's late March, early April, and we're still traveling following this team. But that's probably a little bit of a
stretch.
Oh,
it's a reach,
right,
but it's
now.
Not impossible. Yeah. All right, Andy Sam, why don't you take it from here?
All right, guys. Well, thanks again. This is the second episode of
this.
This
is it?
I guess so. Man. What else can we do? We got Roy on the show.
That is a big show.
Second episode of the Spodcasters, joined by Lawrence Journal World sports editor Tom Keegan, 6 News sports director Kevin Romery.